We began a series I did a few weeks ago that I told you I don't like doing series, and yet we're on week five and here we are. But we titled it Taking Back Control of Your Life. And that's really been my prayer, is that we would take back control of the distractions that the enemy's tried to bring into our life. We would take back control and focus on what God has called us to focus on. And today I want us to get laser locked in on one simple truth, and that's this: faith doesn't always guarantee the outcome, but it always shapes the outlook. Like, I have faith to believe for things, but my faith doesn't always add up to the way that I see it happen or when I want it to happen. Because you've been praying for something and it hadn't happened yet. That's what I'm talking about. You prayed for things and it didn't happen. You prayed for something to live and something died. And you're like, what do I do now? No, but what happens in faith is it always helps shape your outlook, your perspective, the way that you see things. And I want us to talk about this, because your outlook is determined by your focus. And in Hebrews chapter 11, the writer of Hebrews, we're not even sure who wrote it, but the writer of Hebrews tells us in chapter 11, he begins to talk about this word, faith. And he says this, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. And then the writer begins to go on talking about all these people of faith and faith that they had and things that they did. And he goes on. Then we get to Hebrews chapter 12, and it breaks into a little bit more. And I want to read this part today, a few verses here. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. He's talking about the people of faith that have gone before us. Abraham and Moses and Enoch. He's going down the list. Read Hebrews chapter 11. He's just bam, 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 going right up to. We have a great cloud of witnesses that are watching us. Those that have passed on from this world that know Jesus, they are a part of this great cloud of witnesses. My mother is a part of this great cloud of witnesses that are watching us. They're watching what we do. They're watching what we say. They see it all. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. We were that joy set before him. Did you know that? That you were the joy. You were the thing he was keeping in the glimpse of his eyes when he was going to the cross, when he was being whipped with 39 lashes on his back, when he had 3 nails pierced into his hands and into his feet, when he was given a crown of thorns. You were the joy that was set before him. He was like, I'm doing it for him. I'm doing it for her. I'm doing it for all of humanity. And you crossed his mind in that moment. Joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So I want to preach to you today from the title, Refocus Your Focus. Refocus your focus. Somebody say that. Say, refocus your focus. Father, we thank you again for today. We thank you for all that you're doing. We pray, Lord, that you would be glorified and magnified in this moment. Let your word cut through every false ideology, every false belief, every false pretense in our life, and let us see what you want us to see. Let us experience your joy and your freedom today. Let your word be a light into our path and a lamp today in our hearts. Love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Everyone said a big amen. 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 give someone a hug, welcome them to church today, take a seat. Did things all out of whack today, and our team is freaking out. Okay, juniors are being dismissed. Everybody, it's all good. Sometimes I like to roll on God's itinerary, not the one we build sometimes. And even though God helps us build it, He likes to change it up. We don't like when He changes it up, though, in our life, do we? As we study the book of Hebrews a little bit today and we dive into what the writer is saying, the writer is trying to get us to understand that what we focus on in life determines our faith. It determines our outlook. It determines the things that we will pay attention to. And if my eyes are on Jesus, then my faith will be steady. But if my eyes start moving to the distractions in my world, then what begins to happen is my faith will start to drift. We see this in the story of even Peter walking on water. When his eyes were fixed on Jesus, it's simple to see this, that he was fine. He could walk on water, but once he got distracted, he sunk. And here's what I've come to learn in my life. If you're a note taker, I want you to write these things down. If you're not a note taker, you should be a note taker. Where you look is where you'll live. Where you look is where you'll live. Your direction will always follow your attention. Whatever I give attention to in my life, the direction of my life is going to follow. This is why in Proverbs it tells us, let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all of your ways will be sure. Then it goes on to say, it says, do not swerve to the right or to the left, and turn your foot from evil. So biblically, what this passage is telling us is that your sight will set your stride. The things that you are focusing on are going to set the stride and pace of your life as you are moving towards the calling that God has for you. So here's the question I want to pose to you today. Am I looking or am I focusing on the wrong things? When you look at your life and you look at the things that you're giving attention to, are you focusing on the wrong things? Jesus tells us that the eye is the lamp of the body. And that if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. This is in Matthew. So the writer of Hebrews, he's not telling us to just glance at Jesus. No, he is saying what? Fix your eyes on Jesus. Well, you see, that word fix is an interesting word. That word fix is actually an act of will. So my faith, what I'm learning in my life, is my faith is not a guess, it's a gaze. I've got to gaze at it. I've got to steadily focus on it. You know, they teach you this in driver's ed. How many of you have ever taken driver's ed before? Are you taking it, or did your parents teach you and you still don't know how to drive? Some of y'all need to go back to driver's ed. But in driver's ed, my parents were like, heck no, I'm not teaching you. You're going to go to see somebody else because I'm not going to die while you're driving the car. And so while I was in the driver's ed course here over here in Bryan many, many, many years ago, over 20 years ago. Yeah, wow. Goes by quick. While I was there, when they teach you to drive a car, they tell you often that when you're driving, especially at night, don't focus on the oncoming headlights. Because if you do that, you will find yourself drifting into the wrong lane and you'll have an impact. Or they'll tell you, don't focus on the ditch because you'll find yourself wandering off into the ditch. What does that mean? Basically, where you focus is where you're going to go. And I got to thinking about this in our own life in a practical sense, that from the moment that we wake up, maybe some of us need a new first look rule. Maybe before you get up and you look at your phone, maybe you need to see his face in his word. Maybe instead of worried about what Emily did last night, what Joe did last night at 2 a.m., nobody cares. Maybe instead of looking at their life, you should look at your life through the lens of Scripture and see what God wants to say to you. Maybe we need a new first look rule, because what you focus on, where you focus, you will live. Where you look, you will live. Maybe this is why the psalmist says, "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." Let me focus on what you want me to focus on, Lord. Let me get my attention redirected onto the things that need my attention. Because where I look, I will live. But Pastor, there is so much going on and happening in the world. How can I control the chaos of what I'm focusing on? Well, let me tell you. You can't control the chaos, but you can control your concentration. You cannot control the things that are happening existentially in your life. You're not going to be able to control them. But you can control your concentration. What am I saying? Well, distraction is actually optional, and focus is intentional. In a world of ADD and ADHD, I probably got all 80 of them. You ever seen that guy who's like, "I went to the doctor, he said I was HD. He said I got 80 of them things." ADHD. Y'all gonna get it in a minute. It was funny to me, I laughed. But in a world that's trying to get us so distracted on so many other things and get us from socializing with people, I've done something recently. I've gotten off of social media because it was taking too much of my time. Anybody ever been there before? It's like, man, what am I even doing? I'm just looking at junk, like everybody else's life, and I don't really care what they ate today, and I'm not really worried about their gym pose. Just show us. We'll see it. You ain't got to post about it, And it make you feel better? I don't know. Man, I'm getting in it today. I don't know. Something happened this week. But I got off it because it was just creating too much distraction in my life. And I couldn't control the chaos. But where I was looking, there was chaos. But I could control my concentration. You see, the storms in life, they're going to be real. But know this, so is your Savior. And in Mark chapter 4, you will read a story where Jesus is in the belly of a boat and a storm is raging, and Jesus gets woken up and his disciples they're freaking out. They're like, "Oh my gosh, we're gonna die." And he's like, "Do you even care about us?" And he's like, "Y'all have no faith. Did you forget who you're with?" And he says, "Peace, be still. Know this, Jesus has the power to still the storm around you and inside of you. But either way, know this, peace is possible. It is possible in your life. The Bible tells us that you keep him in perfect peace, those whose mind is stayed on you. Well, if I'm focusing on junk, then no wonder I don't have no peace. Pastor Ayers talked about this last week. I can't be praying for God to do something when I've got chaos presuming over here in my life. Living in secret sin, asking God to give me peace. He's like, "I can't bless that." I had somebody one time ask me to come pray for them. They pray for me. I ran from the cops the other day, and I don't want to go to jail. And I'm like, "I can't pray for you to do that." I'm serious. True story. You may be here today, or you may be in prison. I don't know. I was like, I'll pray that you find peace, but peace is going to happen. You see, this peace tracks where your mind stays, not where your feelings wander. And Paul teaches us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he tells us that we are to take our thoughts captive take them captive. You know, this is something I'm even trying to teach my sons right now. I'm like, you've got to take your thoughts captive. Just because it pops in your mind doesn't mean you have to say what comes out, what's popping in here. Just because it pops in your mind does not mean you need to act upon it. Well, I feel this way. I don't care how you feel. Doesn't matter how you feel. I'm not saying your feelings aren't valid. You feel them. But just because I feel mad doesn't give me the right to have an anger temper tantrum and throw stuff in the house. Just because I feel mad doesn't mean I can get in my car and drive around and start pulling out a gun and start shooting. It doesn't mean that. And here's what I'm learning in this passage and what Paul is trying to teach us in 2 Corinthians 10. And that is, if I make my thoughts a prisoner, then I become the warden. If I take my thoughts captive, then I get to be back in control. You would rather be the warden of your thoughts than be the prisoner of them. And peace, it only comes when a stayed mind is on Jesus. It doesn't come just because you're in a still environment. It comes when your mind is stayed on Jesus. And I got to thinking about this. Maybe some of us need a noise audit in our life. A noise audit. Anybody ever heard of a noise audit? Here's the thing that I want you to think about this week, and as you notice them, I want you to write them down because these things are probably what are going to be pulling a lot of your attention. What 2 to 3 things right now do you need to remove from your life so you can regain the concentration you need? What is it? It's a very simple question, but yet if we don't audit our life, how will we ever be able to get rid of the things and shed off the things that God doesn't want us to have in order to focus on what He does want us to have? So if it is your phone, if it's social media, and you need to take a fast, the Bible says, Jesus even says in the Sermon on the Mount, when you fast, He doesn't say if, meaning it's not an option. If you are a believer, you should be fasting. That's, if you don't know what that is, go on our website. We've got stuff on fasting. We'll talk about it even soon, typically at the beginning of the year. But you need to maybe fast from some things. You need to get some things out of your life. If it's a relationship that keeps pulling you to do things you know you're not supposed to do, maybe you need to audit that out. What is the noise that just keeps creating the chaos in your mind and you need to remove it so you can regain your concentration? So even though I can't control the chaos, I can control what? My concentration. And in my journey in life, learning about this word called faith, here's what I've learned. Focus isn't found, it's forged. To have focus, it's not just a gift I stumble into, it's actually a skill that I have to sharpen. It is a muscle. It is something that I have to be very intentional about. Hebrews 5 teaches us that mature believers have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice. What that tells me is that focus is a muscle and I must train it. I must actually actively build it up so that way it can handle the distractions when they do try to come. In the story of Daniel in the lion's den, if you grew up in church, you would have heard the story of Daniel in the lion's den, or if you read your Bible anytime recent in the Old Testament to see this story, you will find that Daniel didn't find focus when he was in the lion's den. Like, just to give a little snapshot of the story, he wasn't doing what the king wanted him to do, and they threw him in a lion's den with lions. And it's like when we do this in life, we get thrown into a lion's den and they're like, oh my gosh, we got to focus on faith. But if you're waiting until the lion's den to have faith, you're in trouble. The mouths will not stay shut. No, he forged it in daily prayer. Daily, practiced it, trained it, did the reps. And nothing was going to stop him from forging his faith to the level that he needed to be at for the trials he was going to face. Even when a decree was given that he was not allowed to do it, what did he do? He went up to his room and he opened the window and he turned the right way and he started praying. He said, nothing is going to stop me because I need the right focus so I can have the proper faith. So that way when life falls on its face, I will have the faith to endure it. And if I'm going to take back control of my life, I must decide my disciplines before I face my distractions. You've got to decide your disciplines before you face your distractions. Again, I'm teaching this to one of my sons right now. I won't call him out, but I'm teaching him. I said, you need to predetermine your response so you don't react when those things happen. This is something we all need to do. I have to work on it too because, you know, I don't know about you, but there's times in my life when I just want to throw off the handle for a little while and get mad. Am I the only one? Don't act all holy out there like y'all sanctified. Go find another church if you all holy because we ain't in all holy in here. We trying to be. But there are just some times when things happen in my life and I'm teaching them, I'm like, you've got to predetermine, you've got to pre-decide your discipline that when chaos presumes or your little brother throws something at you or your little sister says something that nags at you, you have to have a response already pre-disciplined and predetermined. Don't just react because your reactions won't look very good. Your reactions will take you and lead you to a place that might end up in a whooping or something. I don't know. Couldn't say that last week in Seattle. I had to be careful what I said in Seattle because if I say whooping, they'd be like, call CPS right now. I was guarding my words a little bit. But this happens in life, learning that focus isn't found, it's forged. Like in weight training, if you go to the gym, you understand that your strength is not built on day one, it's built in reps. Like I don't go over to the bench press on day one of going to the gym and try to put 350 pounds and be like, ha, it's not gonna happen. It's going to take sustained repetition over and over and over. And in that due time, I'm going to develop the muscles that it takes to handle the weight so that way it doesn't crush me when I get underneath it. Repetition builds your capacity. And the more that you do reps in your faith, the more you're going to have the capacity in life when things start to come at you. The Bible tells us that to whom much is given, much is required. You want God to give you more? Then do more reps. Because you can't handle it when it comes. You need more reps so you have more strength. So I can't have faith for the big things in life if I don't train myself in having them in the small things. I talk about my kids a lot. I'm teaching one of my other kids right now. They give me a lot of sermon writing, I'll tell you that much. Man, have some kids, you got sermon stories. But I'm teaching them, I'm like, learn to be faithful in these small things and there will be a reward for the bigger ones. Like my daughter, on the way to church today, was like, Daddy, how much is a cow? I already know where she is going in her mind. I said, well, I don't know, the auction may have a yearling at around 850 bucks. I don't know, somewhere 1,000 bucks. I said, she goes, can you buy one? I said, no. I'm not buying you a cow. You don't even get the eggs from the chickens in the morning. What makes you think I'm going to buy you a cow? I'm like, you like the idea of one, but you don't like the responsibility of it. Some of us like the idea of the calling. But we don't want to do what it takes to get there. We expect God to be our lottery. We play the lotto, we win. And guess what? You'll be bankrupt because you'll never have been able to handle the things when God does give them. So knowing that small, steady choices are what forge a strong focus in your life. And when you forge your focus, it only is going to come when you have faithful practice. Things that you get to continually massage and work that muscle. And oftentimes that means you're going to have to get rid of some things that are distracting your focus. So here's the final thing I want to say today. If it clouds your clarity, cut it out. If it clouds your clarity, cut it out. Get rid of it. Not everything that is visible is worth your vision. Not everything that presents itself to you needs your attention. I'll just say this, in ministry sometimes it can feel like you're a firefighter, where you're always running around trying to put out everybody's fires that they're starting. And there are sometimes I've learned, I'm like, you know what? Not everything is an emergency. Not everything needs my attention right now, this moment, because my family does first. And maybe this is for you. Maybe you're in your career and you think that every time someone calls and you need to pick up and answer it, that there's a fire. Put the phone down. You got a fire in your children right now. And if you don't learn to keep the right fire aflamed in them about Jesus, it will go out and you'll be so worried about tending other fires for other people and other families that you will forget your own. And you'll wonder why when they turn 18, they don't want to come around the house and they don't want to bring their grandkids around you. Yeah, you'll wonder. We're focusing on the wrong things. We're putting attention on things that don't deserve our focus at this moment. Doesn't mean I'm not going to get there. I'll get there. You'll get there. But that matters right now more, because guess what? They may come and go. They aren't. They're your blood. Out of all my entire responsibility, out of everybody I shepherd, if my kids don't love Jesus, I failed. Same goes for you, Dad. You can have a lot of money in that bank account and give them an inheritance, but if they didn't have you, that money will mean nothing to them. It will still be an empty void in their life. They may have their pocketbook full, but their soul will be empty because they never had a father. And when they look at our Heavenly Father, they will think He's too busy for them in their problems. Oh, I'm preaching today. I'm striking something today. Hebrews 12 tells us that we are to lay aside every sin and weight. To know that not everything that slows you is sinful. Some things are just heavy. What do I mean? Well, in 1 Corinthians, the writer tells us all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. What does that mean? It means if it fogs your view of Jesus, it's too expensive. If it takes your eyes off of Jesus, then it's not worth your vision. It's not worth your attention. Jesus steps even more into this, in this hyperbole in Matthew chapter 5. Hyperbole, that's a nice word. And he goes on to say, like, if you sin with your eye, you need to gouge your eye out. Well, we're not going to have a gouging eye service today. Because some of you, honestly, you walked into church and you were maybe single and you saw somebody you like and you looked at them maybe in a wrong way. Oh, you were on social this morning wanting to DM somebody. Oh, and your eyes saw. That doesn't mean Jesus isn't saying, all right, get a spoon and here we go. Gouge your eyes out. No, he's not saying amputate your body. He's saying you're going to have to amputate the access that takes you there. In other words, if I have a hard time not looking at pornography on my phone or my iPad or a computer, then I probably shouldn't have a smartphone or an iPad or a computer, especially in places that nobody else knows. And if I do, and it is required that I have one for a certain reason, then there better be restrictions that somebody else has control of, or there better be this covenant keeper eye software that lets everybody know that is in your accountability group what you've been looking at. What am I doing? I'm cutting off my access. I'm amputating it. I'm getting it out of my life. I'm getting rid of the thing that is taking me to that point. And here's another one. If I don't know how to control my spending, when it comes to my credit card, then you should cut it up right now. I'm talking, take it out of your pocketbook right now and just start folding it while I'm preaching the end of the sermon. Just keep going back and forth until it just goes bright. And when it breaks off of you, I pray by the name of Jesus that the spirit of spending is going to break off your life. I'm not kidding. I'm preaching today. I feel the Holy Spirit right now. If every time you feel anxious, you reach for a bottle, and I don't even mean drinking till you get drunk. I mean, you just have to have a little. If I reach for a smoke, if I've got to reach for something because I feel anxious, then maybe I shouldn't have it in my house or I shouldn't go to the bar. I got to cut off the access to it. That's what Jesus is trying to get us to understand. That I need to remove the thing that causes me to leave there. So, teenagers, if you are going on a date with a young girl, boys, you don't need to maybe drive them at 16, but you say, I'll meet you there. Oh, this is good, parents. This is good. This is good right now. I know it is. This is good. Because maybe, and maybe you need to have tracker on your phone so your parents know where you are at all times. This is good, parents. Y'all should be amening and clapping and praising me, shouting me down right now. Maybe you don't need to be driving around late at night. My mother used to tell me, ain't nothing good happen after 11 p.m. She said, only gangsters and ducksters outside. Don't be going outside after 11 p.m. I'm telling you, she actually said 10. I moved it to 11. That was our negotiation. But if you know you're going to be tempted, then don't even go there. Don't go to the party. Don't pick up the phone when they call. Well, you know, maybe they want to say something. Who cares what they say? You don't need to go. Because you know when you'd go, you know what you'll do. You got to cut the access. And here's the other thing, that an illustration about this. It's like my glasses right now. Or maybe you can do this in real time if you don't wear glasses. You, when you're looking in your windshield of your car, you see, if there is a smudge on this lens, it will blur my view. You see, the problem though, like I've got one right now and it's bugging the heck out of me. The problem isn't the scene. It's just the smear. It's just the thing that's this right there. And all I gotta do is take it off, and I won't do it on this because I'm gonna get more oil on it, but you just gotta clean it off, and then now my view gets re-cleared. The problem isn't the scene, it's just the smear. What is the smear? How can I cut it out? How can I clean it out of my life? If it clouds my clarity, I need to cut it out. So here's what I want to do today. I believe today was a day that God sent me to tell some of us it's time to refocus our focus. Maybe your focus has drifted. Maybe you've got your attention on things that you don't need to have your attention on. You're focusing on things that really don't matter, and it's wasting a lot of your time, and you've drifted from focusing on the right things, and you're realizing today that you need to recenter and refocus on the right things, to refocus on Jesus. And if that's you today, I want to pray for you. And if you're saying, Pastor, today I'm My attention's on things that really is just distracting me. We all have distractions. We all got things that are happening in life. But if you're like, no, there's just some things I know that they're taking me off my focus, off of you, Jesus. They're taking me away from your presence. They're taking me away from the things you've called me to focus on. And if that's you today, you say, Pastor, I need you to pray for me that I will refocus my focus today. Then I want you to stand all across this room. Say, Pastor, that's me. I need to refocus my focus. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. I just want my focus on the right things. I hope you see that you're not alone. Think, well, I'm the only one that's distracted. No, you're not. Look around this room. We all got distractions that are pulling for our attention. And God is saying, I got the right family right around you, and you're going to do this together. This is why you need to be plugged into a church family. Because when the distractions come and the storms come, you need to be reminded that Jesus still has a plan. And Jesus is your focus. And he will sustain you. Father, I thank you for every, if you're standing, I want you to lift your hands across this room. Father, I thank you for every person that is standing to their feet right now, whether in this room or on the other side of a screen. God, you see the things that are pulling our attention. They're distractions in our life. We've been focusing on the things that don't need to be focused on. We've got things that are pulling from us in all different areas. God, I pray today by the power of your Spirit, Lord, that you would bring a strength on the inside of us, a conviction on the inside of us to refocus our focus today, to put our eyes back on you, Jesus, to fix our eyes on you, the author, the perfecter of our faith. And I pray, Lord, that there would be right people around us, that you would gather around our life. And let us not just wait for them to gather, but God, let us have our eyes open to see the people that we need to be in connection with to help us walk this journey called life. So when the storms come, we'll be reminded that our Savior is with us. God, wherever we have lacked in putting in the attention to forge this focus, to train it, to understand that this is not just some gift we're stumbling into, but it is something that we must work at. I pray, Lord, that you would give us the focus to put in the reps and the small things so we'll be able to handle the big ones when you send them. God, we need your power. We need your strength. In a world that the enemy is trying to pull all kinds of things off of you, God, let us put our attention back on you. Let us not be swayed by the storms and the wind and the waves, but let us keep our eyes focused on you, because when we do, miracles begin to happen in our life. Supernatural things begin to happen in our life. We begin to walk on the water of every situation that's trying to bring us down. So I pray today, Lord, that we would have water walking faith, water walking focus. Let us set our eyes on you, Jesus. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Somebody say, in Jesus' name. Now, there's another group of people that I want to pray with today, and with every eye closed across the room. If you don't know Jesus today, if you've not given your life to him, you're finding maybe today that there is a God who sent his son, who we were the joy set before him, that he endured the cross for both you and I. He did it so that way he would pay the debt for the sin that we owed. The Bible says that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have missed the mark. We've missed the target that Jesus has set, and we could not fulfill it. So God sent his son Jesus to fulfill what we could not. And the Bible says that if we would just believe on him, put our faith in him, says that we will have everlasting life, that we would receive this grace that is a free gift, salvation that is a free gift. There's nothing we can do to earn it. It's not just about being a good person or doing good deeds. You can do all these nice things for people, but if you don't know Jesus, it's not going to matter when you breathe your last breath. You need to know Jesus. Maybe you don't know him today. Maybe you've not put your faith in him. Maybe you've not believed in him, or maybe you did, but you're here today and you just know, you know in your knower that I'm not in right standing with God. My life's just not where it should be. I've been distracted. I'm a college student. I went home for the summer. Things went crazy, but I'm back. And I need to be back in my relationship with Jesus. If that's you today, I want us all to pray this prayer together. And I want you to believe it in your heart. The Bible tells us in Romans 10, verse 9, it says that if we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, it says you shall be saved. You see, the story doesn't end on the cross. It ends with an empty tomb. And because Jesus came out of the grave, he did that to bring us life and life to the full. There was a life to the full that Jesus is wanting to extend to you. So if you want to pray this prayer today, I want us all to pray it in support of those praying it for the first time or rededicating their life today. Say, "Dear Jesus, come into my life. Help me to live a new life in you. God, I accept you as Lord and leader of my life. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for me. And today I ask you'd forgive me of all my sin. Wash me clean. Make me new. I receive you now. I believe you died and rose again for me. In Jesus' name." And everyone said a big amen.